إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما. يقول ربنا عز وجل في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء اتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. نعوذ بالله من النار، اللهم نجينا من النار، آمين يا رب العالمين يا أرحم الراحمين. إخوة الإيمان والإسلام، فقد نادى ربنا عز وجل عباده المؤمنين في كتابه الكريم حين قال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. Brothers and sisters in Iman, our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu al-ahad al-samad, he called the believers, he called upon the believers in his gracious book al-Qur'an al-Kareem. He said, O you who believe as Allah, the only God and the only one worthy of worship, and the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah is speaking to you. Do not let your wealth and your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not let your riches, your wealth, your family divert you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever of you does that, then indeed they will be losers. They will be losers in this dunya and in the hereafter. The remembrance of Allah is what Allah is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for. To remember Him, to worship Him, to submit and surrender to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa alayhi salam for the first time when Allah spoke to Musa, He told him that إِنِّي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. The first time Musa alayhi salam heard the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said to him, indeed, I am Allah, the one who there is no God but Him subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalala. So Musa, worship me, worship Allah, and establish the salat for my remembrance. Allah ordered Musa for the first time to worship Him alone and to establish the salat so that Musa would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by establishing the salat. And He said subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ankabut, speaking to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Speaking to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling him to tell us, to order us, to establish the salat. Indeed, salat keeps one away from shameful and sinful acts. And then he ended the ayah by saying, and the remembrance of Allah is far greater than that. Meaning, the remembrance of Allah is greater than the physical actions that you do in salat, sujood, ruku'. Because salat is not about an exercise that we do, it's about the focus that we have when worshiping Allah, the remembrance that we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are doing sujood and ruku' and the rest of the actions of the salat. It's not about going down, coming up. It's about submitting and surrendering to Allah through these actions and submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the verbal statements and dua and remembrance that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us alayhi afdal as-salatu wa tasneem. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means. Do not let your wealth and your riches or anything related to this dunya to divert you from the remembrance of Allah. And one of the greatest remembrance of Allah is what? Is the salat. We know the best way to remember Allah is saying La ilaha illallah. But in Salat, we say La ilaha illallah very often. Don't we say that? Of course. We say La ilaha illallah in Tashahud. We say La ilaha illallah in Satr Dua that we supplicate to Allah when we are in Sujood. We say La ilaha illallah in Salat. So one of the greatest ways to remember Allah is by praying to Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalala. وأمرنا ربنا عز وجل وفرض علينا خمس صلوات في اليوم. As we all know, brothers and Islam, Allah the Almighty سبحانه وتعالى ordered us to pray five prayers a day. It's compulsory upon every Muslim to pray five times a day. And the hadith and the ayat that proves that are countless. Allah says, وأقيموا الصلاة. Establish the صلاة. وحافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين والآيات كثيرة كما تعرفون. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, and take good care of your prayers, especially the mid prayer. And when you stand before Allah in prayer, stand in total devotion with khushu' when you stand to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, بني الإسلام على خمس ثم ذكر الصلاة كما تعرفون. And the Prophet ﷺ said that Islam is built upon five pillars, and he mentioned the second one is the Salat, brothers and sisters in Islam. It's just a reminder, inshallah ta'ala. The virtues of Salat are countless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِحُونَ الصَّلَاةُ صِلَةٌ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَرَبِّهِ يَكْفِينَ هَذَا أن الصلاة صلة بينك وبين خالقك سبحانه وتعالى جل جلاله. إذا انقطعت هذه الصلة فلا صلة لك لرب العالمين. فأنت محروم والعياذ بالله. He said سبحانه وتعالى in Surah Al-Mu'minun, the successful believers are those who have khushu in their salat. Are those who take good care of their salat. This is what it means. They do their best to perform the prayer that Rasulullah told them to do so. And hadith of Rasulullah narration says, that salat is your connection between, is a connection between the servant and his Lord. If this connection is disconnected, then you and your Lord have no connection. And if you have no connection to Allah, then you are living for no purpose. You are living for no purpose. You are no different than something that has no purpose for this life. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The virtues of salat are many as we know. Brothers and sisters in Islam, unfortunately, we know that some Muslims, when it comes to the Salat, they have so many shortcomings. They neglect the rites of Salat. They turn away from the Salat. Salat perhaps is the last thing they think of. And this is against the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is against the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The importance of Salat is known to everyone of us. I don't have to mention it again. We spoke about it times and times in this masjid and in different masajid. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. But one thing I'd like to discuss today is the importance of neglecting the salat and the seriousness of neglecting the salat or not taking care of your salat or not praying at all your salawat وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. لَمَّا ذَكَرَ رَبُّنَا عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي سُورَةِ مَرْيَمَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ الْعِظَامِ الْكِبَارِ كَمُوسَى وَإِبْرَاهِيمُ وَآدَمُ وَنُوحُ وَكُلُّ أَنْبِيَاءِ عِظَامٍ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ. قال بعد هذه الآية إذا تتلى عليهم آيات الرحمن خروا سجدا وبكيا. When the ayat of Allah, when the Quran, when the Torah, when the Injil was recited to this Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they cried out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cried out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all they did after they cried, they prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They took care of their salat. And they advised and they taught their followers to take care of their salat. But unfortunately, after them came a new generation, new successes, Allah says. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفُ نَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّ. وَعْدَنَا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَهَاوَنُونَ فِي حَقِّ الصَّلَاةِ. And then he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then after this anbiya, after this righteous generations of anbiya and their followers, who truly follow the anbiya in their times, came new successes, new generations after them, who cared less about the salat, who neglected the salat, who gave up the salat, meaning they did not take care of the salat as the anbiya instructed them to do so. They prayed, but not as good as they were taught. Allah promised such people. Because they followed the desires, as the ayah says, they neglected the salat and they followed the selfish desires, the evil desires. Dunya and what's inside it that is non-beneficial to you, neither in this dunya nor in the hereafter. Allah promised such people, فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. And when Allah promised, لَا يَخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادَ. He does not break His promise, subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalala. They will certainly find غَيَّا. غَيَّا, it is said in some narrations like Abdullah ibn Abbas, Aisha radiallahu anha, or that, that it is a lake in the bottom part of Jahannam, in the deepest part of Jahannam, made of pus. Those who neglected the salat, those who did not take care of the salat, they will be dipped there, wa'iyadu billah. This is how serious it is. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَمْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَمْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Allah said to those who pray, but they are very careless about their prayers. Their wudu is not done very well. They pray outside the times of prayer. They delay their prayers for no good purpose that the Sharia agrees with. When they pray very fast without any khushu', without doing proper ruku' and proper sujood. It's like someone is chasing them. When they do everything outside the prayer, they perfect it. But when it comes to salat, they pray as if someone is chasing them to kill them. We ask Allah to guide them and guide us. Allah says, woe to such people who are careless about their salat in Surah Al-Ma'un, that every one of us perhaps memorize. One of the smallest surah in the Quran. It's not far away from us to read it or to find it in the Quran. Go and read the translation and read the meaning of the scholars, of the Sahaba, what they talk about this. They say, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ. Those who are neglectful concerning their prayers, those who delay their salat for no purpose. Let alone if your wudu wasn't done properly. Let alone if your sujood wasn't done perfectly. And we mentioned about this. That a man would pray for nearly 60 years, and his salat, not even one salat will be accepted from him. Why? Because his sujood is not done perfectly. Maybe he does rukuk correctly, but his sujood is not correct, or the other way around. That's a hadith that is narrated to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and narrated to Umar ibn Khattab, that he said the same thing. A man, his hair will become grey, white, meaning he reaches an old age, but no single rak'ah Allah will accept from him. Why? Because when he prays, he doesn't pray in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah. He does not do rukuk properly. He does not do sujood properly. We have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to understand what it means, aqimu salat, establish the salat, meaning fulfill the conditions of salat, fulfill the pillars of salat, fulfill the obligations of salat, and fulfill the optional actions and verbal actions in the salat if you could, when it comes to the optional. The optional. But obligations, conditions, and pillars of salat, if you miss one of them, then your salat is batil, is waste of time. Except if it was obligations, then you have to do sujood as-sahw. But pillars and conditions, you must make sure that you are doing them perfectly. Salat, sharaha rabbul alameen, we have to think well. We have to ponder upon this. That salat was not prescribed to us by so-and-so, that and this. By rabbul alameen, he has rules, he has conditions, he has pillars. We must follow Rasulullah sallam. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni yusalli. Pray just like you saw me praying. That's what he did with the sahaba. He was in the masjid, he stood up on the minbar, he prayed, and then on the minbar. And when he finished, he said, pray just like you saw me praying. He showed them how to pray physically and verbally, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not do that for no purpose, of course for a purpose. Allah wants you to worship Him the way He likes, not the way you like. Because if you worship Allah the way you like, Allah will reject your worships. Worship Allah in submission and surrender, and in obedience of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What an iman wa Islam, brothers and sisters, Islam. I recently only, in my class, I teach teenagers in London. This was 2 days ago, on Tuesday, or 3 days ago. I asked them, I told them that between each one of us, between you and Jannah or Jahannam, is nothing but death. If you die, you will be informed whether you will be going to Jannah or Jahannam. One of the two. There is no places of residence after death, except Jannah or Jahannam, except after the Day of Judgment. Because the grave is the first stage of the stages of the Day of Judgment, as we know. The grave can be a small garden from the gardens of Jannah, or one of the halls of Jahannam, riyadu billah, as it is said in some narrations. Between he and Jannah or Jahannam is what? Is death. You die and you will find out. In your grave, a window in Jahannam will be opened, and you will make to see your position in Jahannam if you disobeyed Allah. And a window will be opened for you in your grave to see your position in Jannah if you obeyed Allah. And you will be told, if you disobeyed Allah, this is your position in Jahannam. Because you obeyed Allah, this is your window to Jannah. Wait for the day of judgment and you will enter your Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala. That's what it means. Between you and Jannah and Jahannam is what? Is death. And between you and death is nothing but what? Time. It's all about time. This time can be very short, can be very long. Unknown to us. You might step out of this masjid and you're gone, you're dead. You go back to your Lord. While people are trying to save your life, ye have been told whether you're from the people of Jannah or Jahannam as Malik al-Maut comes to you and the angels of death that will take your body. It's not far away from us. We need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to think of what truly benefits us in this dunya first. What benefits us in the hereafter first, and then secondly in this dunya. I asked this student, I said, if you had 24 hours to live, a doctor told you that a virus spread in your body and there is no way for you to survive except 24 hours. How would you spend these 24 hours? This was only on Tuesday. And this teenager, he was 14 or plus. He asked me, and I was very sad and shocked. He said to me that I would spend these 24 hours playing my latest games, going on Snapchat or whatever they call them, Facebook, and updating all my classmates and my friends that I am about to die. And I would go to every hospital and try to get the best treatment I can. And he was smiling, because he thought he was too smart by saying that. I had like 20 of them in the class. And I asked someone else, alhamdulillah, that gave me a good mood, what would you do? He said, I would spend it crying to Allah, worshipping Allah, supplicating to Allah, seeking forgiveness of Allah, going to those who I oppressed and seeking their forgiveness. I said, you are the smart. You're not smart when it comes to this particular issue. And then I reminded him of Allah, and I said this and that. And he understood what he meant. It's not far away from me. It might be your daughter, it might be your son, that they are so in love with these games and this worldly attractions, while they don't think anything about Allah or the hereafter or death or Jannah or Jahannam. We have to pay attention to this. It might be your daughter, it might be your son. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Muhammadin Nabiyyillah. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all that exists, subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu. And we send our prayers, blessings, and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, and all his companions. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I sometimes ask my students in the classroom, did you pray Fajr prayer? Did you pray Dhuhr prayer? Because I normally teach them evening times. Some of them, I try to teach my children to be honest with me. Because without honesty, then there'll be no relationship between a teacher and a student, between a father and a son, between a mother and a daughter. Honesty has to be there. And their trust. They have to earn your trust. You have to trust your children, and they have to trust you. You have to trust your student, and they have to trust you. No matter what sin they're committing, they must come to you and tell you, I did this and that and this. So you help them. You don't make things worse when they come to you. Because they are sage, where they are facing and surrounded by many temptations of shaytan, wa'iyadu billah. I asked them. Some of them, they say, I missed Fajr prayer. Some of them, Dhuhr prayer. Why? Because school did not allow me, because I didn't have time. I woke up late and had to rush to school. And I tell them, this is how, I explain to them the importance of salat, and then I tell them to go to the corner of the masjid or the corner of the class and pray what you missed, if it was within that 24 hours. Go and make up what you missed. And they do. And they know that nature tells them, but they did something wrong. And they feel bad about it. We keep doing that. It doesn't mean we have to give up on them. They will keep missing salat today, tomorrow, next week, next year, all the way to perhaps when they're in their early 20s. And you as a father, as a mother, a teacher, you keep reminding them in the best manner that you could. Because aggression, anger, does not cause except wars, aggression and anger. Do it wisely, smartly. Address them. Try to get involved, deeply involved in their lives, in their activities. Be friends. The best friend to be with is your family, inshallah ta'ala. And I advise myself to do that before anyone else. What an iman in Islam, some children and some adults of Islam, followers of Islam, don't pray out of order. Remember the ayat and the hadith I mentioned? They were concerning someone who does not care about his prayer. He prays, but he doesn't pray in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah. Imagine someone who does not pray at all, and plenty of them are out there, unfortunately. It might be your son, it might be your daughter, it might be your brother, it might be your sister, it might be your student, it might be your employee who does not pray to Allah 5 times a day. I'm gonna state some ahadith which show the seriousness of not praying 5 times a day. And I leave it for you to think, and think of what this ahadith means. Of course, the ulama, they talk about this issue, a Muslim who does not pray 5 times a day. What is his hukm? What's the ruling in Islam on him? They all agree upon one thing, all of them. That if he denies the salat and he rejects it and he says, there is no need for me to pray because there is no need to pray. It's not a must. I don't have to pray. In this case, he has left Islam. He can call himself Abdullah or Maryam or Aisha or Muhammad. Call yourself whatever you call yourself. In the sight of Allah, you're not a Muslim if you reject salat intentionally. But if you reject it for any other reason, if you don't pray for any other reason such as laziness, carelessness, or anything similar to that, then the ulama, they have really strong saying concerning these individuals. But before we go to ulama, we go to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu warda in Sahih Muslim, he says, بين الرجل والشرك والكفر ترك الصلاة. Between a believer and a kafir and a mushrik is nothing but abandoning the salat, not praying. So between the difference between you and someone who is non-Muslim is nothing but a prayer, subhanAllah. Because in prayer we say La ilaha illallah. In prayer we submit and surrender to Allah. Kafir does not do that. You do that in prayer. Another hadith, in hadith Burayda radiallahu anhu arda, all the sunan, all the books of sunan, except Bukhari and Muslim, they narrated this hadith that they said, Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salat faman tarakaha faqad kafar. The difference between us and the non-Muslims is the salat. Whoever does not pray, he has disbelief in Islam. He has disbelief in Islam. Disbelief. Very clear. It's an action of kufr. It's an action of what? Of kufr. Leaving Islam. That's what the hadith states clearly. But we'll comment, inshallah ta'ala, upon this hadith. There is another hadith. Narrated by Ubad ibn Samit, Rawah ibn Abi Hatim, in the hadith is Sam, he says, Ubad ibn Samit said, Awsana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqal, la tushriku billahi shay'a, wa la tatruku salat, faman tarakaha muta'ammidan, faman tarakaha amdan, faqad kharaja min al-millah, al-iyadu billah, min millah al-islam. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a reminder. And he said, do not associate any partners with Allah. Do not worship anyone with Allah. And then he went on to say, do not abandon your salat. Do not give up on your salat. Indeed, giving up your salat or abandoning your salat intentionally is an action that takes you out of the fold of Islam. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. A serious hadith more than that is in Sunan and is in Musnad Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, narrated by Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu arda. These are the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not your weak brother in Islam that's standing at this member. It's not Alim Suwansu, it's not Shafi'i, it's not Imam Ahmad, it's not Imam Malik, it's not Abu Hanifa. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who does not make any mistakes when he speaks. The rest all do. All do. Even Sahaba do make mistakes when they speak. But Rasulullah does not make a mistake. وَلَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He speaks what Allah inspires him to speak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Amr ibn al-As, ذَكَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَىٰهِ سَلَىٰهِ الصَّلَاةَ يَوْمًا فَقَالَ مَنْ حَفَظَ عَلَيْهَا كَانَتْ لَهُ نُورًا وَبُرْهَانًا وَنَجَاةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. اسمع. نور وبرهان ونجاة يوم القيامة. ومن لم يحافظ عليها لم تكن له نورا ولا برهانا ولا نجاة يوم القيامة. وكان مع قارون وفرعون وهامان وأبي بن خلف عليه لعنة الله. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم that whoever, he mentions the salat once, the Sahaba, and then he spoke about it. He says, whoever takes good care of his salat He's not talking about someone who doesn't pray. He's talking about caring about the salat or not caring. Whoever takes good care of his salat, it will be for him nur on the day of judgment, light. And it will be for him a proof on the day of judgment. Because believers, they will have light in their hands, in their face, in their feet. Why? Because of the traces of wudu they used to do at least 5 times a day. It will be for him a proof and light, and it will save him on the day of judgment. And whoever does not take care of it, he didn't say whoever doesn't pray, whoever does not take care of his prayers, then he will have no nur, no light for you on the day of judgment. And he will have no proof on the day of judgment that you are a true believer. And he will be not saved on the day of judgment. What's worse than that? He said. And he will be with who? With Qarun. We know who Qarun is. With Fir'aun. And with Haman. And with Ubay ibn Khalaf. These are the worst four men walked on this earth. Haman is the minister of Fir'aun. Qarun is a man who Allah gave him knowledge and wealth in the time of Musa alayhi salam, but he rebelled against the will of Allah. He was arrogant, he was too proud of himself, he rejected that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him, and he was showing off his wealth and his knowledge to his people. Allah caused the earth to swallow him and his wealth. And Ubay ibn Khalaf is the man who Rasulullah killed by his own hand. Rasulullah never killed anyone except this man in a battlefield. He promised once as when I was in Mecca, Ubay ibn Khalaf was a trader and was one of the leaders of, he had a good position in Mecca. He came to Rasulullah and he promised him, he said, "Oh Muhammad, I'll make sure I'll kill you with my own hands." He threatened our Rasul. Rasulullah calmly and simply replied to him, he said, "Inshallah, I will kill you, Ubay ibn Khalaf." When the battle of Uhud came, the third year of Hijrah, Rasulullah met him in the battlefield and he threw a spear at him and hit him in his neck. And Ubay ibn Khalaf fell down. And his bodyguards, they carried him and they said, "It's just a small injury, it's gonna heal soon." He said, "No, if Muhammad says something, he does not lie. I once threatened him that I would kill him and he promised that he would kill me with his own hand. And I will die because of this." Before he made it back to Mecca, he passed away, alayhi lanatullah. These are the four worst men walked on this earth. A person who does not take care of his prayer, he will be resurrected with such people. This is not me saying again. Go to Musnad Imam Ahmed and you will find this hadith uttered by your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's how serious it is, brothers and sisters in Islam. Allah does not promise those who take their salat neglectful. Does not promise them ghayya for no reason. Because he knows. He knows us, the importance of salat in Islam. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Of course, a person should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since you are still breathing, since your heart still beats, you always have the chance to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You always can go and open a new chapter in your life, a new relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Start praying inshallah ta'ala. Attend the masjid as much as you can if you could. Do your best to pray on time. Do your best to have khushu' in your salat. Do your best to learn the basics about the salat, because you're responsible to do that. As a father, as a mother, we know our youth, lots of them don't pray 5 times a day, and they're teenagers. They're 16, 17, 18. I know that very well. As a father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered you directly in the Quran, as a father and a mother. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Every mother, every father, Allah addressed in the Quran saying, "Command your family to establish a salat and be patient when doing that." When dealing with your children, when telling them to pray 5 times a day, do it patiently, do it wisely, smartly, nicely. Don't speak to them harshly, because you will make them run away from the salat. Be patient. They might not pray today, they might not pray tomorrow, not next week, but one day they will pray. Make them love the salat. Don't force them to pray. Because if you force them to pray, you force them to read the Quran, they will dislike that. And that's the only thing you don't want to do. Make them dislike anything to do with Islam. Take time. That's what Allah says to Muhammad. Wastabir alayha. And be extremely patient when commanding your family to pray salat. And he said in the sound hadith, Surah Ibn Majah, مروا أبناءكم بالصلاة وهم أبناء سبع وضربوهم عليهم أبناء عشر وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع. He says, وسلم, teach your children to start praying when they are the age of 7, and discipline them when it comes to the prayers when they are 10. This is it. Start, inshallah ta'ala. Remind them of the seriousness of salat. You don't want your children, you don't want yourself to be resurrected with those people, subhanAllah. You want to be resurrected with the Sahaba, with the righteous Muslims. May Allah make us from that. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. You don't want your child or your daughter to be risking an action of kufr, to be risking being lost in Jahannam forever, riyadu billah. Because the hadith states clearly, it's kufr. It's kufr. Even though some ulama, they say is minor kufr, is not major. And we respect that opinion very much. But still, you don't want to risk that. Even if it was minor kufr, abandoning the salah, it wasn't major, still is a huge risk. A huge risk. Because the hadith I mentioned was Ahmed, whoever doesn't take care of his salah, no, whoever doesn't pray. So there is a huge risk that you might face on the day of judgment. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Let us do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us during Surah Al-Tahrim. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. O you who believe, save yourselves and your family from the hellfire of riyadu billah. Let us think positively of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not despair from the mercy of Allah. No matter how long you didn't pray for, you can always turn to Allah. No matter how long you kept less for your salah, you can always change and do better. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there for you, very merciful, very forgiving. نسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يحفظ